Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and happy Friday. We've got a really great show for you today, heading into the weekend with all of the things going on in college campuses, with all of the concerns about the spending, the war, the instability in the world, in our country, the open border, the violence in our cities, the illegal aliens committing illegal acts after they get here. Of course, the first illegal act is crossing the border illegally. There is also a concern about what our government is doing to infringe our Fourth Amendment rights against illegal search and seizure. It's one of the most important rights that our founding fathers created in the Bill of Rights. They did not want general warrants that, like had been seen in Great Britain and the British Empire, where a government could seek anything for any reason on a person. And so they created the Fourth Amendment. But over and over and over again, there have been derisions and retractions and shrinking of those Fourth Amendment protections. FISA, Patriot Act, all major contributors of that in the name of allegedly getting some more security from terrorism, we gave up a lot of our rights then. But there's something that's been going on over the last couple of years. The ability of the FBI to go buy data off of people's phones from data brokers without having to get a warrant. And it's a complete end run around the warrant process, around the Fourth Amendment process. The FBI argues, well, listen, if other people can buy a commercial weekend too, Congress says, no, we don't agree with that. And in the last few days, actually just last week, they passed in the House the Fourth Amendment's not for sale law, prohibiting the sale of private data to the government without a warrant. That is a significant protection. And the man who drove that debate, the man who got it through the House and who's now pressing the United States Senate and Chuck Schumer to take up this bill and protect American civil liberties, Congressman Warren Davidson from the great state of Ohio, a great patriot, a military man, veteran. He is always at the forefront of arguing for better liberty protections in this country. He's going to join us at the top of the show. Amanda and I had a great conversation with him last night. This is important legislation, something everyone should be acutely aware of and take a look at. It's a really important piece of legislation. We're going to go through it here along with a lot of other things going on in Congress right now. Now, in the second block of the show, my good friend Kash Patel, former chief of staff to the Pentagon, former chief investigative counsel for the House Intelligence Committee when they unraveled the Russia collusion caper, he's going to join us. He's going to help referee what's been going on in the Supreme Court with Donald Trump and immunity, what is going on in the system. Remember, he's one of several congressional staffers who had their phone records taken by the Justice Department. There's litigation on that front. That's going to be a really important conversation and one that I think we will all enjoy quite a bit. So we've got a great conversation at the top of the hour. Hope you enjoy that. We will also have a lot of other discussions over the next couple of weeks about civil liberties protections. There are other things that the FBI is doing, that the NSA is doing, that the intelligence agencies are doing that haven't been tracked. And this is the moment in our history where getting these things exposed and getting them in front of Congress and getting solutions in place are so important. So we're going to take a good crack at that. You're going to hear a little bit of this discussion with Kash Patel. Yesterday, the United States Supreme Court heard the case of whether President Trump enjoys some form of immunity for his actions in January 6th and elsewhere because of official actions he took as president. And the president's lawyers were arguing that the Constitution provides unlimited immunity. No matter what he did, even if he executed someone while he was president, he should have immunity. The justices didn't seem to buy that, but they did seem to buy into some sense that there may be immunity for some of his acts on January 6th, perhaps in the classified documents case. That is a very significant change, because if that happens, if the court comes down in June with a ruling saying that Donald Trump has some form of immunity for what he did on January 6th, that's why he was impeached, it was considered a presidential action, then it's going to get sent back to the lower courts to be litigated, come back up to the Supreme Court. And it is almost certain that the January 6th and the classified documents cases will not get to trial before the November election. That is in and of itself a really significant development. We had some great coverage. You can listen to the arguments and watch them on our site yesterday. Check out the reporting that Stephen Richards did. There was some really important questioning. Brett Kavanaugh among those who raised some very provocative questions that I think give us some insight to where the justices are thinking right now. That was a big development and something worth keeping a close eye on. I have been talking about this. You heard me yesterday talk about it with Nick Giordano. I really feel strongly about this and just want to opine for a second. I worked for the Associated Press for 2 decades. I was one of its most famous investigative reporters, did some important work on 9/11, on Anthony Fauci, won a lot of awards. I rose through the administrative ranks of the AP, ultimately becoming the assistant chief of bureau in the Washington, D.C. bureau, its largest bureau, so one of its top executives before I went to the Washington Post. I have a great regard for the Associated Press and its historical record of good journalism, courageous journalism, foreign correspondency journalism, war coverage, investigative journalism. But in the last decade or so, AP's record of neutrality has waned. Its record of excellence has withered a little bit. And its biases, and in some cases, negative participation in the news, are becoming a big factor. And I think several news organizations that have relied on the AP beginning to doubt some of its integrity. This came up in the Hamas attacks, where there was some alleged participation of freelancers or AP staffers, whatever, involved in that. But I'm concerned about something else. And by the way, it's not limited to AP, but AP is the standard bearer, the trendsetter in the industry. The Associated Press, the world's largest wire service, has been calling these protests on college campuses anti-war protests, anti-Gaza war protests. But that's simply not true. As Nick Giordano laid out yesterday, as so many people on our shows have laid out over the last couple of days, these protesters are not asking just for a pause to the war. They are asking for the eradication of the Jewish people, of the Israel state. They're calling for the prosecution of Israel for a genocide that no one says actually exists, evidence of a genocide. They're uttering things like October 7th times 10,000, meaning let's do something October 7th like 10,000 times worse. So let's rape 10,000 more women. Let's kill 10,000 times more Israelis. They chant from the river to the sea, which means to eradicate Israel from the land and its nation status. They chant all sorts of heinous things that seek death to America, that seek death to Israel, that seek to intimidate, harass, threaten Jewish students who simply want to go to class. These are not the Vietnam War anti-war protests, and the Associated Press's effort to paint them as such does a great disservice to this country. It does a great disservice to the record of factual journalism that is required of these protests. These protesters are asking for something far more than a pause in the war or a stop to the war. They're asking to destroy Israel, to persecute Jews just because they're Jews. President Biden has called these anti-Semitic, and I think he's right. I don't always agree with President Biden, but on this issue, he's right on the facts. The rhetoric, the actions, the demands of these protesters are far, far greater than asking for a pause in the war, an end to the war. They're not protesting the war. They're protesting the existence of Israel. They're protesting the existence of the Jewish people. And for the AP to downsize these to just anti-war protests is to do a disservice to the world, to the country, to the truth, to the historical record that we will be keeping of this incredibly difficult moment in American history. And I want to ask my old colleagues at AP to reconsider that, to look at the words. Words matter. To look at the intention, the stated intention of these protesters, what they're saying, what they're doing, who they're aligned with, where they're getting their money from, and to reevaluate the oversimplification of these protests as anti-war protests, because they're not just that. There's something far more heinous and serious. And with that, I'm going to yield the floor. When we come back, we're going to start off with Congressman Warren Davidson from the great state of Ohio. We'll also have a great conversation with Kash Patel, talk about some of those civil liberties that congressional staffers feel were intruded upon by the Justice Department. And of course, Warren Davidson will remind us why the Fourth Amendment's not for sale law passed in the House and why it should pass in the Senate. We'll have all that right after these messages. But first, a quick shout out from all of the great partners that we have here at Just the News. We have so many good ones. One of them, my good friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. I just did a big event for them up in Pennsylvania, emceed the event where boomers, really people of all different ages, but senior citizens particularly, got trained on how they could be more politically engaged in this election. It was called Boot Camp for Boomers. It was really an amazing event, thoughtful, great debate, great conversations. At the end of the day, AMAC makes a difference every single day. They're 2 million members strong. I'd like to see them get to 3 million members strong. They have a great weekly podcast, a monthly glossy magazine that's worth reading. Makes me a better journalist when I read it. They've got daily news analysis, daily discounts, daily offers for insurance and products you can't get anywhere else. They are the patriot-loving senior citizen group in America. And if you want to join, they have a very special offer they're doing right now. They're calling it the Election Year Special. It's unique to Just the News. It's unique to John Solomon Reports. Go to amac.us/justnews, amac.us/justnews, and you'll get a four-year membership for just $30. I'm going to tell you, because I've been using the card for discounts for a long time now, I'm a card-carrying member of AMAC. You'll pay back yourself the $30 in discounts very quickly. But then all the other benefits, the opportunity to get involved in civic engagement, to go to Boot Camp for Boomers, to get the magazine, to get Social Security and Medicare advice free when you just call them because you're a member, to have your passions, your values argued in Washington and in state houses across this country, to get daily news analysis from people like Bobby Charles, all that comes for that $30 as well. It pays for itself, and it is a value 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times what you're going to pay. And if you sign up right now through that link, amac.us/justnews, you're going to tell AMAC that you're a Just the News fan, a John Solomon Reports fan, and you're saying thank you. I want to join, but I also want to thank you for supporting John Solomon, Just the News, the John Solomon Reports podcast. So go there today, amac.us/justnews. $30 for a four-year membership. That is an insane discount. All right, we'll be back in a few seconds with Congressman Warren Davidson right after these messages. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully, you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code Just News. Go check it out. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Over this last year, we've had a lot of discussions about the ways that the government gets a hold of your information without ever getting a warrant. We've talked about the banks turning over your financial records, your private financial information without warrants. That happened during January 6th. We know that for sure. And a practice that the FBI and other law enforcement have been using to buy your phone records without a warrant so you can get your location data. The government can track you everywhere through your phone just by buying it from a data broker. No warrant required. Well, some brave members of Congress stepped into this void over the last year, and they put together a very important piece of legislation. It passed last week. It's called The Fourth Amendment Is Not For Sale. The man who made that legislation possible, who willed it through the House and now pushing to get the Senate to do it, is joining us right now, Congressman Warren Davidson from the great state of Ohio. Congressman, congratulations on a big victory. This legislation is a very important piece for the American people.
Yeah, privacy may be one of our most infringed rights that's supposed to be protected by the Bill of Rights. And look, it's a limitation on what government can do, not a grant of the right. The right to privacy exists, but it has been grossly infringed. And, you know, we talked about the FISA fight, and I think that set the stage for this important win. It's one of the only issues right now that doesn't break along party lines. I mean, we got it across the finish line with 123 Republicans and 96 Democrats. So it was definitely a bipartisan effort. And really, Senator Ron Wyden's leading the same version through the Senate. Senator Durbin has a similar version, and he's the chair of Senate Judiciary. And the little bright spot for hope is Senator Schumer actually co-sponsored the Durbin version. So there may be a path yet.
That's amazing. Wow.
And it's interesting to me because we have seen a few initiatives in policy areas where Democrats and Republicans have come together. And oftentimes, I mean, last year we were talking about it with respect to China, but it seems to center around privacy. Did it surprise you that you had some of these unlikely allies?
No, I mean, that's been one of the issues I've worked on since I came to Congress. I mean, the Patriot Act to me was one of the things that needed undone. And when you dig down, a lot of this goes back to the 1970s, a couple court decisions that kind of created this court imposed third party doctrine, which is the idea that if you've shared your information with any third party, you don't have an expectation of privacy. And by that, they mean institutions like your bank or your phone company or even whoever built your car. They're collecting all kinds of data out of your cars now as well. Any kind of way that you engage in commerce, it's kind of this big government, big business coalition. They have a mutual interest in keeping everything account based. The businesses monetize it, but the government also surveils it. And so sometimes it's called surveillance capitalism. But really, it's been abused in a way that truly infringes and bypasses the purpose of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, it's pretty important that this strike has been made. This is going to set a precedent. I think the bipartisan nature of this has been a big win. Congressman, I want to ask real quickly, you served in the military. Over the last 2 years, we've lost significant counterterrorism capabilities, first by the bungled withdrawal in Afghanistan, then the loss of the base in Niger, now the withdrawal of troops from Chad, two countries that we had long, good relationships with. How blind are we to the threats that are potentially aiming at this country right now?
Well, probably the biggest void in our national security strategy is our southern border. So we've got 1.9 million people that have come into our country illegally, And the ones that are coming in illegally, they're the ones we're really worried about, because so many others, they come, they turn themselves into Customs and Border Patrol. They're processed through. Collectively, you've got around 10 million uninvited guests in our country. And the 1.9 million that we don't really know for sure who they are, we've seen all kinds of Chinese nationals, people come from Middle East countries, hundreds on the known terrorist watch list. And so I think that's our biggest void. But I think the important thing is to remember, we are a republic, not an empire. So we don't need to maintain all these outposts around the world to defend our own country. The intelligence collection is the more important thing.
Right. That's important to me.
Sir, I feel like I know the answer to this because I have seen how the Biden administration is handling criminals who come across our border and not deporting them. But with respect to some of these foreign students who could possibly be posing harmful acts on college campuses here in the United States, any conversation about deporting them?
Well, look, I think deporting non-citizens is definitely something that should be on the table. But when you've got someone who's enrolled in a college, enrollment should be the base question is, why would you stay enrolled at a school, while posing a threat to your classmates? And look, if it's speech, speech is protected. I mean, I support free speech. But what's going on at these campuses is a very organized effort. And so it may well violate racketeering laws. And, you know, if you look at tents, for example, that are showing up at these encampments, all the students didn't just decide to go shopping together. Someone's supplying all the material for this. This is a manufactured campaign. It's going on around campuses all over the country, and notably left-wing campuses. So you have these leftists that are coming out, and they don't really even know what they're protesting. They're out there defending the idea that they shouldn't even release the hostages. So in a way, you know, denying even the whole point of 10/7 massacre in Israel. So, you know, I think this is dangerous speech for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Sir, going down that line, are there some discussions in Congress among your colleagues about maybe investigating where this money's coming from, who the organizers are? There's a possibility of foreign governments, there's a possibility of nonprofit money or even government money being repurposed for this. Do you think your colleagues in the House should and will dig into this?
Yeah, I feel very confident. If you look at the hearings that we've already had in education and labor, education, yeah, workforce committee, they've highlighted some of this. And look, my colleague, Elise Stefanik, really asked the line of questioning that helped rid Harvard of one bad president. But if you look at campuses all over the country, I mean, it seems like basic leadership on the campus, you got to keep the students that go there safe. And clearly, you know, Jewish students are feeling threatened in a lot of campuses, and Columbia University is in the headlines today. But wherever these protests are going on, look, there's a right to free speech, but there's not a right to harass and intimidate and bully your classmates.
Yeah, good point.
Absolutely. Sir, I want to go back to the theme of the beginning of our conversation with respect to data. And one of the most infamous data snatchers is TikTok. We know, regardless of where you stand on whether it should be able to be online here in the United States, we know that they hold U.S. data in China. Their head of U.S. data security admitted to such. The Biden administration, though, is going to keep their account on TikTok. It kind of sends a mixed message to the American people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for double standards, some of these folks would have no standards at all. But, you know, I do think that the TikTok ban was a bad policy decision, and I think it'll cause more harm to free speech in America than it will to China. There have been safeguards that have been put in place going back to the Trump administration to hold the data inside the United States. And then the question is, what punitive actions are taken if that's been willfully violated? The Biden administration issued a rule to prevent the export of our data. And frankly, one of the other privacy ones we got came from the Energy and Commerce Committee had a bill that bans the export of American citizens' data. And one of the ways this is being abused is, you know, American citizens' data is being sold to brokers. They're, you know, harassing senior citizens. So if you look at all these phone calls and emails and scams that seniors get exploited by, it's because our data is largely going offshore, and it makes it very hard for our law enforcement to enforce.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. So we've got about a minute left. Economic indicators still blinking red with some warning, yet Joe Biden calls for a 44.6% capital gains tax rate, the highest since 1922. Is this the right time to have a tax increase?
It's a terrible idea. Look, I think we should be getting rid of the income tax altogether. But of the dumb ideas, perhaps the dumbest is a tax on unrealized gains. So, you know, if you look at a company, look, I was a private sector guy. If you raise capital, the minute you raise capital, you owe taxes on the gain. Well, the whole point is to deploy the capital to scale and grow the business. And look, they have a median average of 0 days of private sector experience in the Biden administration. They're all government, all academia, all the time, theoretical. And even in theory, this is a bad idea. But for anyone that's practiced any kind of private sector work, hopefully this stays dead on arrival, but a terrible idea at a terrible time.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Kash Patel has a lot to say about the Supreme Court arguments on presidential immunity and also his ongoing litigation against the government for invading his privacy when he was a congressional staffer investigating the government. We'll have that right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, everybody. Government memos unsealed this week by a federal judge in Florida revealed that the Biden administration worked to put pressure on Donald Trump for improperly retaining government documents, which resulted in a criminal prosecution of the 45th president. And here's the kicker. White House officials launched this effort just weeks after discovering that the president himself, Joe Biden, had improperly retained government documents. Yep, same thing. Now, the revelatory emails serve as yet another example of the double standard the Biden White House applies to the president and his chief political rival. So I encourage you to visit justthenews.com and read all the details in this important story, authored by my outstanding co-host, John Solomon, and investigative reporter, Stephen Richards. But right now, I'm going to welcome Kash Patel, who served as a House investigator and federal prosecutor, who can break all of this down for us. He's our good friend and our network contributor joining us by phone, Kash. I want to start with what I continue to hear from leftist media, which is there is no proof that there is any collusion between the Biden White House and any of these prosecutions. Now, you, as a former federal prosecutor, if you were third in line at the DOJ, third from the top, like Michael Colangelo was, and you left to go to New York to argue in a hush money trial, would that be a move up the ladder or a move down the ladder?
Hey, it's great to be with y'all. And that is a straight political move. For him, they will see it as up the ladder. But, you know, it's great to be with you guys. And Real America's Voice really is the epicenter for this reporting because John Solomon and I served as President Trump's representatives to NARA, which is where this all started. And John's great reporting revealed these lies before Judge Cannon's publicization of the documents. So I'm glad it's finally getting out there. But you don't have to believe John or I. Look at their own evidence of the government's own words. The White House counsel, the DOJ, were in communication with NARA at the same time John and I were exercising our legal rights as representatives for President Trump to obtain documents. And then we see that the general counsel at NARA was talking directly to DOJ and White House counsel who told him not to provide the documents to us, even though we were legally authorized to get them. That's part one that destroys the narrative that they weren't in collusion or taking direction from the Biden DOJ. But what's more important, maybe even, is that not only that, they were obstructing Donald Trump's legal right to documents. I wonder if anyone's going to charge them with obstructing a legal investigation. I'm sure DOJ is preparing Gary Stern and Nara's indictment right now for that.
Cash, there's so much to unpack when you look at this, but it really looks at the timeline. In March of 2021, Biden's team finds out, he's got documents at the Penn Center. And then by early May, they're escalating. Hey, let's build a case against Donald Trump. That includes bringing in the White House counsel for Joe Biden, who, by the way, didn't have any responsibility for Donald Trump's records, and the Justice Department, and then drafting a referral in September 2021, much earlier than we knew until these new documents came out. And what's interesting is the guy they're talking to about drafting the referral is like, hey, we don't do it this way. We know we've never done this for another president. Why are we going criminal on Donald Trump? When you look at that timeline as a former investigator, former federal prosecutor, former public defender, what do you see in that timeline?
It's the critical piece of evidence here. And again, it's not my reporting. It's not your reporting. Yeah. It's their words. Yeah. The people that lied to us, the DOJ and the Biden White House, who said we have nothing to do with this. And in order to bring this prosecution, Joe Biden himself had to singularly direct the Department of Justice to vitiate Donald Trump's executive privilege. He had to make that decision because he's the only one that could do that. Right. And if that weren't bad enough, now we have his cohorts at DOJ instructing Nara to break protocol. Like you said, John, this has never been done before. And Nara admitted that. And then Nara bent the knee to the will of the Biden DOJ and the Biden White House to bring charges, baselessly so, against Donald Trump for political reasons. So, Amanda, as you said, the number three Department of Justice official in Colangelo, no prosecutor at that level ever goes to state court that far in his career. You start in state court like I did, and you make your way up to the feds. You only do so if you have a political vendetta to seek against Donald Trump. And that's exactly what's going on. And when he opened his statement in New York against Donald Trump this last week, do you know what he talked about first? An illegal conspiracy that Donald Trump was involved with. Here's the kicker. Donald Trump is not charged in the state of New York with any conspiracy to do anything. Yeah. And it's illegal and unconstitutional to tell the jury about other conspiracies that aren't charged. And it's not like New York wouldn't charge Donald Trump if they could. They didn't, because even they know he's not guilty of any conspiracy.
Great point.
Right. And, you know, with respect to this two-tier system of justice, I think that more and more Americans are seeing that. And I want to ask you about that with respect to the news out of Arizona yesterday about the indictment of these folks connected to President Trump by a grand jury. Now, President Trump was listed as an unindicted co-conspirator. Do you think that that is political simply because they feel like they have, throughout all of this political weaponization, made him a martyr?
Absolutely. Look, it's not just about get Donald Trump. It's about get anyone in Donald Trump's circle. They've come after me. They've come after these people here. They've come after a slew of people in Georgia. And we're seeing the two-tier system of justice on rampant display, not just at the federal level with the Nara case and the DOJ and Biden White House meddling, but we're seeing with state level operators who we now know went to the White House, for instance, in Georgia, and met with the vice president for 6 hours the week before they returned their indictment. Of course, they're in cahoots with them. And the question I have for the Arizona case is, there are no coincidences. Why did they release that indictment now? And how much time and money did Arizona state prosecutors spend in communication with the Biden White House and Biden DOJ? I'd love for Congress to go subpoena those records. And here's the kicker of all things. Congress, after getting this information, after being proven that Biden lied and the DOJ lied and the White House lied, and brought unconstitutional charges, Congress has not sent one subpoena for one witness or one set of documents. I don't know what the Republican majority is doing over there. I really have lost a lot of faith in this, John. It's really tragic.
Yeah, man, it's a remarkable circumstance. And just the timetable of shoving this all into the election year when things are 3 and 4 years old, it smells to a lot of the American people. That's what the polling shows. You look at the polling, people figured this out. I want to turn to the Supreme Court for a second today. It seemed to me that Donald Trump found an audience among five, maybe six of the justices, that he's going to enjoy some immunity for his actions, and that this is probably going to go back and forth through the courts, which means there's not going to be any federal trials this fall. Your takeaways from what the justices were asking? You've got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, look, I think Justice Alito hit it out of the park when he was questioning the lead prosecutor for DOJ. He simply said if Donald Trump had an attorney general who gave him the legal authorization and opinion to say you could do that, the Justice Department admitted Donald Trump would have full cover from the Constitution.
Right.
So an attorney general can give you full cover and privilege protection, but his boss, the commander in chief, can't. That logically just does not stand. And I think that shatters their position, and DOJ admitted as much. So they now, you know, are on a political witch hunt, and we now know it's being selectively applied to Donald Trump. I think Justice Alito's position and questioning were far superior, and they knew they were out of ammo when they went up against him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the line of questioning by Ketanji Brown Jackson, because she she seemed to be trying to argue that essentially, a president acting in his capacity as president has no legal privileges as president than just Joe Blow, some normal citizen on the street. So me, Amanda Head, a private citizen, I can show up, I can sit in a skiff, I can have a conversation with the chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on the phone with CENTCOM and make war decisions. It seems to me that her line of questioning implied that there isn't any difference between the president's decisions and a private citizen's decisions, which is absolutely ludicrous.
Well, let's just let that play out for a second. And at the core of this is due process. Are we really going to create an alternate system of justice that applies solely to Donald Trump to strip the president of privileges that they've had for years? The example I use, because I'm a counterterrorism guy, is when Barack Obama drone struck Warsami, a high-level terrorist in Yemen, there was no repercussion, nor should there be for it, because he is protected in utilizing his position of public office and public acts to defend this country or to do anything that was within his power. I mean, if Ketanji Brown Jackson's position is true and correct, then the Warsami family and other American citizens can go ahead and sue Barack Obama for unconstitutionally killing an American citizen. And to me, that violates the core concepts of presidential privilege. If Obama has it, then Biden has it, then Trump has it, then Bush has it, then everybody else should have it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, America. Parents all over this country now worried that their children could be kicked out of school if they use the wrong pronoun. Why? Because the Biden administration just unleashed its Title IX revisions last week, scrapping key Trump-era protections for students and adding new gender fluidity requirements all across this country. People really worried about this. Some states are fighting back. They're not going to recognize these changes. Joining us right now, a man on the front line of a lot of the great education reforms that people are proud of, Oklahoma State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Ryan Walters. Sir, good to have you on the show today.
Thank you, John and Amanda, for having me on.
You are always at the forefront, and I was not surprised that you were one of the first out of the box. Once the Biden Title IX rules came out, you were sending some pretty specific instructions to your schools. Tell us what position you've taken, why this is going to be important, probably sets up a litigation.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, we had been watching this come down the pike, so we were ready to go when the Biden administration rolled this out. I mean, this is one of the most egregious oversteps we've seen from the federal government. To come in and redefine Title IX, so this means the federal government is threatening states. Okay, so Joe Biden is threatening the states to A, have boys and girls sports, boys and girls bathrooms, and there's a third part of it too. they can now come after you for using the wrong pronoun if you've got a student who now identifies as another gender. This is absurd. It endangers girls. I know that I've told you guys before about we had two girls assaulted by a boy in the girls' restroom here in Oklahoma. It's happening all over the country. But Joe Biden is using the federal government to threaten the states to comply. And I'm going to tell you, we made it very clear to the federal government, we will not comply. I sent a letter to Secretary Cardona. I told him he should resign in disgrace over this. And you couldn't see somebody more tone deaf than this radical president and his regime here. And, you know, it just is such a stark contrast here, right? You know, President Trump, we'd probably be talking about a Secretary of Education like a Riley Gaines or a Kaya Raichik or Tiffany Justice from Moms for Liberty. You know, people who understand parents' rights and that boys are boys and girls are girls. But instead, under President Biden, we have got a radical Secretary of Education that doesn't even understand the difference between the genders. It's just outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and in your letter, you instructed educators in Oklahoma to ignore it, to proceed as they have been, which sounds kind of scary, but you've also committed absolute resources to them legally and otherwise in supporting them in that fight, right?
That's right. And I think it's very important now that the states stand up. Well, what you've got here is the federal government who will continue to overstep. There's nothing, frankly, there shouldn't be a federal Department of Education in the first place. And then what they're doing is they are usurping all of the powers that are reserved for the states here to continue to manipulate and force their agenda onto the states. So what we said is, no, federal government, we won't comply. Then we told districts, you don't need to comply either. We will stand in the way between the federal government and you. And by the way, we've had several superintendents reaching out, thanking us, going, you know, we are with you 100%. This has thrown us into disarray, so thank you for the clarity. And it is way past time for the states to stand up against this federal government that is just dedicated to controlling states. Frankly, what we need to be doing is the opposite. We need to be taking power from the federal government and education, abolish the agency, give power back to the states, then do what we do here in Oklahoma. We give the power and education back to the families, to the parents. That's really the way education should work. Not into the federal government involvement, but the states giving power to families to determine the education of their kids.
Yeah. And Florida following suit after you today, Governor Ron DeSantis. It looks like there's going to be a large coalition of states that are going to probably end up binding together to fight this. The courts have been one of the most important referees for some of this far left agenda that's been pushed on America without Congress's permission. Is this headed to court? And how do you think the states will prevail?
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely headed to court. You know, we're looking at all of our legal options. We've been working with other states, as you mentioned there. There's absolutely going to be multiple legal opportunities for pushback here. We will be joining into those cases. We will fight this in the courts. And then again, there's really two ways to fight it. You're going to have the legal fight to block it, but then we also are going to have the fight to just not comply. Again, they are relying on us in the states to enforce their illegal and constitutional edict here. And again, states just knew they need to stand with us. Don't comply. Tell them you're not going to do it. Get all of your lawsuits ready to go and file legal challenges. But the first step is don't comply and get the lawsuits ready to go.
Ryan, it has been remarkable to see the way that mainstream media distorts and disfigures some of these trans cases. And there in Oklahoma, you obviously had a very high profile one. Next Benedict, that was just completely skewed by the media. You wrote an op-ed about it. Can you talk to us about your op-ed?
Absolutely. You know, it was a tragedy. We had a young student take their own life, and it was this terrible situation where we were, you know, with our thoughts and prayers with the families, the community, the school. But then we saw the radical left come in and hijack the situation, trying to claim that the student was beaten to death because they were transgender, something we knew from the very beginning. No, that's not true. There was a fight. Yes, it had nothing to do with transgenderism, and it didn't have a serious injury to the student. Well, boy, it didn't matter. The LGBTQ plus groups nationally ran with the narrative. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden were out tweeting about it, lying about the situation, trying to claim that conservatives were pushing for violence towards transgender students, which is a complete lie, but they weaponized it to try to attack conservatives, try to attack what our state's been doing to get the woke ideology out of schools and a focus on academics. And we're just not going to back down. You know, they've been sending protesters to my board meetings, I did a speaking event at a college recently, and these national LGBTQ plus groups keep sending protesters to try to disrupt everything we're doing. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on ads attacking me here in the state. And I've been very clear, we're not going to back down to a woke mob. We're going to continue to protect students. We will never allow bullying here in the state of Oklahoma. We're also not going to allow you to lie and utilize and capitalize on a student's death to push a political agenda of the furthest left-wing extremists in the country. So we're going to continue to fight back against that, and we're not going to allow the left to try to use a student's death to push their narrative.
Yeah. So you spend a lot of time finding solutions to what ails our education system, and I want to talk a little bit about higher learning and what we're seeing going on in these college campuses, some of the most heinous, hateful, intimidating behavior I've ever seen. And they're being soft-pedaled as war protests. They're not war protests. This is something far more severe and hateful. What are some of the steps that government and Congress and others can take to stop this sort of a cycle of violence and hatred on these college campuses?
Yes, sir. I'm going to give you a few things here, John. Number one, they need to end tenure for college professors. When you have college professors that are out speaking anti-Semitism to students, out pushing this anti-American, anti-Israel propaganda, they need to be fired. Number two, when you have students from overseas that are coming over here and fomenting hate and promoting terrorism on college campuses, their scholarships should be pulled and they should be sent back home. We should not allow terrorism to foster itself on college campuses. Number three, any college that allows Jewish students to be endangered on their sites, the officials at the school should be held legally responsible for not protecting Jewish students on our college campuses. So they need to have legal responsibility, financial responsibility for allowing a culture that is anti-Semitic. This is unbelievable that here in the year 2024, we are having these attacks. First of all, the Biden administration, you've never seen a more pro-terrorism president than Joe Biden, who has welcomed attacks on Israel overseas and welcomed attacks on Jewish students here in our own country.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Congressman Warren Davidson, to Cash Patel. If you feel impassioned about what I said with the AP, call the Associated Press. Tell them you'd like to see them change their language on these protests. If you want to thank AMAC or just get involved with AMAC because you like what they're doing, you like what they say on this show, you like the boot camp for boomers, go to amac.us/justnews. amac.us/justnews. You'll get a 4-year membership for $30 just this month using that special URL. All right, folks, that wraps it up. We'll be back Saturday with regular programming. Until then, God bless you and have a great night. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.